Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is episode 21, which aired on June the 20th of 1992. Here we are for another fantastic episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, coming to you today from Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Doc, how are you this week?
I'm doing great, my friend Mike. I just, you know, I know we've been getting at each other's throats lately in the previous weeks. I want to extend an olive branch so that you and I can come together and enjoy this great Smoky Mountain action.
Well, this is episode 21 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which aired again on June 20th of 1992. And to your response or to your question of wanting to get us to come together, we'll come together for this, but to be honest with you, you can get the Jim Cornette. Thank you, fuck you, bye. Let's get into this week's episode, asshole.
I don't deserve that.
You deserve it, and then some. I ain't got time for this shit today. I'm fucking with you. I'm already tired of recording since this is the second one we're recording today.
I know you've got me stuck in this Smoky Mountain sweatshop here where we're just cranking out episodes like tired.
Yeah, you love it, so shut the fuck up. We always record these things weeks in advance, so while you're hearing this some point in January, we haven't even hit the new year yet. We're actually a day before New Year's Eve, recording this on December the 30th of 2016. By the time you hear this, it'll be 2017, so let's kick things off, man, and get into the episode and see if we can have some fun as usual. So we got Bob Cottle, Dutch, and Barry Horowitz. They're at the debate desk, as I like to call it frequently. They're setting the table once again for us. Dutch announces during the opening segment that on the new segment that he has, which is called Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel, this week that he will be talking to Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and that you don't want to miss it. Doc, you got any thoughts on the opening segment of the show?
That Barry Horowitz is an upgrade over Carl Stiles.
100% upgrade over Carl Stiles. I definitely would agree with that sentiment and statement there. With that said, Bob Cottle throws us over with his now famous Let's Go to the Ring to get us started for this week's episode. First match up is Nitro Danny Davis and Rip Rogers. Before we can even get to the match, which started, Dutch tells us to notice his new protege that is behind him, which is Barry Horowitz. He says he's won no matches, but under Dutch's leadership, he will be in contention for a belt in no time. And then here it comes from Bob Cottle. He is milking this thing. Bob Cottle says, Dutch, can I ask you a question? Where's Styles been? Dutch responds, Styles is from Smoky Mountain, meaning his mental outlook is limited, and he's been institutionalized in a mental hospital. Bob Cottle is not happy with this and says, there you go again, talking about the good people of Smoky Mountain. Thoughts on this lovely opening exchange, Doc?
Just more of what we've come to love from Dutch and Bob as they've really settled in to be a really, in my opinion, unheralded commentating duo in the history of wrestling.
Would you agree that Bob Cottle, we've probably said this before, Bob Cottle is very underrated as a wrestling announcer?
I don't know, because I always thought he was awesome back in the day, so I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, are you going to put him above JR and Soli?
He's not going to be above Soli. He's not going to be above
Lance Russell,
you know, those guys. JR, debatable, so depending on what time period you're talking about. However, I mean, I hate that, because it sounds like I'm burying JR.
So I slot Cottle right underneath all of them, and so I think that's – I don't know that that's underrated. I think that's probably properly rated.
I think most people don't rate Bob Cottle as high as he should go, though.
And that's another reason why I hate all of these people. Get Bob Cottle rated where he belongs.
Okay. Back to the match. Bob Cottle starts his shit about stuff being quick and fast between these two, which is far from that, but they are laying some serious chops in during the beginning of the match. Nitro Danny Davis controls the majority of the match. Rip makes a couple of comebacks on Davis, but ultimately every time Rip gets the upper hand, Davis finds a way to get control back. For the most part, that is. The finish of the match was something you'll never see anymore. Davis blocks a DDT attempt and then hits Rip with what Dutch called the H-bomb, which is a neck breaker, to get the pin on Rip Rogers. Doc, you got any thoughts on this match?
What did you think of that neck breaker?
Looked like it might hurt, but yeah, I mean, hey, I'm good.
That looked vicious.
Did look vicious, but I'm good. I like the fact that it was a finish, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was a good. It follows along the line of good opening match, with two solid vets. We see that quite often in Smoky Mountain, just to get the hour started with some good wrestling. So I liked it.
I agree. Danny Davis and Hustler Rip, maybe two of the most underrated guys in the history of the business. I don't know if we mentioned these guys in our top five underrated episode in 2016, but looking back, you know, if you listen to our Smoky Mountain show and you don't listen to our regular Booking a Territory show that drops every Thursday night, go back and listen to some of our top fives. Danny Davis and Hustler Rip, I don't think we had them in there, but I think they probably deserve at least an honorable mention in those top fives, because these two, they just know what they're doing, man. I mean, Danny Davis is small, and you got to figure if that dude was probably 6'3", 6'4", he may have gotten more time actually in the spotlight. Now, I know he was a great trainer in OVW, still is, I believe. But I just think that Danny Davis, they don't gloss over him as a trainer, but they may gloss over him as an in-ring talent. He was very good in the ring knowing what he was doing. I don't know. What did you think? What do you think about that?
I think that they're... I told you, I thought it was a good opening match by two solid vets. What do you want from me?
Okay. Well, I didn't mention this during the review of the match, but did you like Bob Cottle accusing Dutch of only having Horowitz around to do Dutch's dirty work?
Yeah.
Keep in mind, I just want you to know, this comes up again. That's why I'm pointing that out at this point.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was good. All right, we go to a Tim Horner promo, and I'm going to play this thing for us. It is it's not a long one, so let's cue this thing up and get it started.
First, we want to hear some words from a man who's been having a lot of problems with a nature boy. It's none other than White Lightning Tim Horner. Let's see what Tim Horner has to say about nature boy Buddy Landell.
Nature boy Buddy Landell, I am sick and tired of you. Every time I think of you, I get sick at my stomach. Ever since Mountain Mayhem, you've been a thorn in my side. From the powder to crumbing that check down my throat, and I didn't like it one little bit. And I'll tell you what, next time I get you in the ring, or maybe it'll be the parking lot, or maybe it'll be at Kroger's, I don't care. But when I get you in the ring next time, if I don't beat you, I'll leave Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Doc. Let me tell you what I thought, and then I'll get your thoughts. Okay, this is not the best promo, but by far, but it's far from his worst. I came unglued when he said the Kroger parking lot, because all I can think of now when I hear Kroger is Kenny Starmaker Bolin's fucking Kroger meat scam. when I hear Kroger.
Yeah, I was thinking, what if Landell? They cut to Landell and Horner fighting in a Kroger parking lot. You see Bolin strolling by with a side of beef to take it in.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's what I thought. Like, you see Bolin pushing a shopping cart. And Bolin, I hope you're doing good, because as of us recording this, you were on the Jim Cornette Experience again, and you were back in the hospital. So, Kenny Starmaker Bolin, you've been a guest of ours on the show a couple of times, and we wish you the best. We love you, man. You're so funny. But yes, I do think that would be comical if you saw Bolin strolling by with a fucking cart full of Kroger fucking
half a cow stuck in a shopping cart.
Right.
So the other thing is, Horner said he didn't like that check being in his throat one bit. Gee, I wonder why.
And you played that too, I'm saying you played it. You talked about that when it happened. You were like, man, this is some crazy shit. Because didn't you say something like, man, you stuffed that down in your pants and the ink smears, and then you stuff it in somebody's throat after. Oh God, yeah, that was. I'm glad he brought that up, because actually that adds to the promo. It makes it more real. Anything else from that promo, Doc? I thought it was funny, man. It was short, but it was funny.
Yeah, not his worst.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't his worst. I loved it. I thought it was great. Let's go to the next match, which is Jumpin' Joey Maggs and Buddy Landell. So they fit that Tim Horner promo in because Buddy was about to come in and work a match. Dutch says that's the real Nature Boy right there, as Buddy is coming out. And for him being a heel, Bob Cottle acknowledges the fans that Buddy does have in the front row holding up real Nature Boy signs. Doc, I'll stop. What did you think about that?
Well, I mean, that, you know, the Horsemen had people dress up in suits and act like they were Horsemen back in the Saturday night days. It's not uncommon or unheard of. So,
yeah, I guess you're right.
And you got to figure that Buddy is as much as he's saying he's not, we'll find out in a couple of years when he confesses to it, Buddy's from around there. So,
Right. That's true. That's true. Which makes sense because if he's from around there, he's going to have people rooting for him. Dutch reminds us before the match begins that he will be talking to Paul Orndorff coming up in Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel, his new segment that started the week before. The match starts. Buddy and Mags exchange chops. Mags gets a hip toss in on Buddy. Buddy powders out to reset things, and then we get a nice Dutch zinger. It was subtle, but a zinger nonetheless. I'm going to actually play this, but I want to state it first. Dutch says, "Barry, will you go get me a cup of coffee, please?" Talking to Barry Horowitz behind him. Barry responds, "Yes, do you want anything in it?" Dutch says, "No, just black, please." Bob says, "You just want someone around to do your dirty work." Doc, were you as entertained as me during this exchange, or do you want me to play it first so that we can actually hear it?
No, it's good. I mean, it's just they've got multiple layers of things going on at all times, so that you have to kind of pay attention to what's going on, and that's what I like about it.
Let me just play it real quick so that people can get a good laugh out of it.
Well, we've been talking
Barry,
about Tim Horner. You know,
excuse
me
a minute, Barry. Will you go get me a cup of coffee, please?
Sure.
No, just black, please. See what a good guy is?
That's what I say. I think you want somebody around just do your dirty work.
I want a cup of coffee. I'm out here thirsty.
Fire.
You know, let me say one thing about Tim Horner. He's talking about Buddy Landell, this, that, and the other. He's got a tag team title match, him and Robert Gibson, coming
That's
up
right.
against the Heavenly Bodies today. He best be keeping a civil tongue in his head and concentrating on that match instead of worrying about Buddy Landell.
All right, fans, you heard it right there. Tim Horner, Robert Gibson against the Heavenly Bodies, at tag team title match right here. Landell again, right up over Mags, got that wrist. Standing up over him like that, Dutch, he gets a lot of leverage. He can really put a lot of pressure on the arm and the wrist. Matter of fact, he can just bend that thing right back and break it, I guess.
Now, Joey Mags is an up-and-coming young wrestler, and he's not a newcomer. He's been wrestling, I guess, 3 or 4 years now. But let me ask you, the name Mags, what national origin is that? Is that English, French, German? What is it? You should know.
Thank you,
Barry. Did you like anything, Bob Barry?
No,
go get us.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll ask Mags next time I see him. What nationality?
I think he may be Polish. Magzuski or something
now
like
you got,
that.
Now what?
Okay, I let it play for so long because
went on forever.
He brings back the coffee, and then Dutch says, "Bob, you want anything?" And Bob Cottle is a straight man. He's like, "Man, no, I don't want. No." Bob Cottle's really upset with Dutch at this point. But anyway, I just had to let that play because I thought it was really good.
And the other thing that you let it go so long, but it also opens up the next thread where Dutch is making fun of Mags and like, where's he from? And they get into a thing about if he's Polish or not and why that would be important. So again, little things going on top of other little things going on.
We've said it a million times, but a lot of times these matches that are going on, some of them, I mean, they're basically enhancement talent matches to get the talent over. But the part that makes it gold is the commentary and the exchange between Dutch and Bob. If you really think about it, I mean, these matches aren't spectacular. They're not five-star matches, but you got Bob Cottle playing a straight man, and you got Dutch on the outside with these zingers constantly. It just makes for good TV, so whatever. Back to the match again. Buddy gets the upper hand. He hits Mags with an elbow, with a big elbow, then puts the figure four on Buddy using the ropes for leverage, and he gets the win when Mags submits.
Whoa. What move did he win with?
Figure four.
Oh, so a few weeks ago when you guys were giving me shit because that's not a finishing move because he never won. Nobody ever wins with it. Uh-huh.
Doc Harper was saying that Flair never would win the world title with it is what he was saying. He would never beat anyone with it. It was always a DQ finish. So, yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it, bitch.
Did you hear Dutch tell people that they might want to slap a figure four on their wife right after that?
It was awesome.
Hey, I got a Buddy Landell question for you.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Buddy wears no knee pads or elbow pads or tape.
Yeah, fuck that.
Is that weird to you?
It's not weird because I mean I knew guys that would do that, but yeah, fuck that. That canvas will fucking shred your knees and elbows, dude. Well, elbow pads, no. I mean, I never wore elbow pads, and I'm obviously was no big time wrestler. I was just an indie guy, but I never wore elbow pads. But I definitely wore knee pads because that fucking canvas will shred you. I mean, it's fucking rough on the knees, and it's terrible on the knee. Not even landing on your knees. Just like, you know, you're down and you go to get up and you go to a knee and it's fucking brutal on you. Fuck that. He got my respect for that one.
Okay.
Was that your only question? I mean, that was a pitiful question, yeah. But okay. All right. Did you notice something subtle there in the finish? Buddy wins the match using the finisher, but he cheated as he was using it.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? He used the top rope for leverage. I love that. I thought that was nice and subtle. But I say that because, you know, heels don't cheat anymore. At least it doesn't seem like it. To me, at least. All right, we got a promo. We got a promo after the match, and it's Buddy Landell, and he's cutting a promo, and I think it's good to listen to. So we're gonna cue it up here.
Let's go to Bob standing by right now with the real Nature Boy, Buddy Landell.
All right, and here he is, Nature Boy Buddy Landell. Looking at that again, you really liked that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did, Bob. Let me tell you something. It's a goal of mine in life to screw Tim Horner's head up. See, the boy ain't never had $5,000. He ain't never had a top opponent like the Nature Boy Buddy Landell. Let me tell you something, Tim Horner. I heard you said that the next time that I beat you, he's leaving Smoky Mountain.
That's right. He said that.
I'm wanting to know, do you want to take a bus, a plane? How do you want to leave town? I'm going to tell you something. I even bought a house in Hamilton County, in Morristown, just to get on your nerves. I want to get on your mammy's nerves. I want to get on your old lady's nerves. You ain't even going to be able to go to bed with your old lady at night because you're going to be so frustrated with me. Ain't nothing going to be going on but Buddy Landell time. Let me tell you something, Tim Horner. You'd rather go through hell with gasoline breeches on, baby, than to mess with the Nature Boy Buddy Landell. I am what Smoky Mountain Wrestling's all about. Anytime, any place. No more Mr. Nice Guy. You might be able to go out and down the road with your family talking about being a bad guy. But, brother, you ain't seen bad yet. I'll poke your eyeballs out and blow wind through your skull, baby. I said it.
As you know, that's going to come down, and that's going to be something. We'll be back right after this.
All right, Doc, let's hear it, man. The Nature Boy, Buddy Landell, one of your favorites. What do you got for us? Doc, you're on mute, I think.
No, I was cutting out, I think. But he's using a couple of his cliches. He's using a couple of things we've heard before. He is talking about going to Morristown and causing problems, which is a little funny. But I don't know. It was a little bit above average, but, you know, I've heard better from Buddy.
I like when he said, I heard you said, he didn't say I heard what you said, I heard you said, I want to get on your mammy's nerves, your old lady's nerves. I mean, he's working it country style, bro. I mean, he was into it. But you don't sound like you really liked it that much.
No, it wasn't one of my favorites of his.
Okay, well, I thought it was pretty good, but maybe it's just me. We got another promo, which is the Heavenly Bodies, and I'm gonna play that here. And I won't say anymore. Let me just cue it up.
And Smoky Mountain Wrestling the way it used to be and the way all you fans like it, will be coming to your area very soon. All of the outstanding stars of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And when we talk about stars, of course, you got to include the Heavenly Bodies who are here with us with Mr. Jim Cornette.
You know the old saying they had for MGM, more stars than there are in the heavens. Well, in this case, the only two stars in the heavens that really matter are the Heavenly Bodies. They're every mother's nightmare and every schoolgirl's dream. And I can promise you, in addition to being, without doubt, the sexiest men in professional wrestling, they're also the toughest tag team. They're the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, and they're coming here real soon to prove that point in person. Right, Tom?
You see, Jim, we didn't walk in the ring, and we didn't win these belts by being nice guys. Every time we step in the ring, the guys on the other side better know that we're not coming to shake your hands, and we're not coming to pat you on the back, no. Because as everybody knows, it's a real short distance between a pat on the back and a kick in the pants, and all you're going to get from us is a good, swift kick in your teeth.
You know something, Bob Caudle, when you open up your dictionary, you pull your Webster's from the shelf, and you look under tag team, you see a picture of Tom Pritchard and Sweet Stan Lane, the Heavenly Bodies, because, brother, we are the epitome in professional tag team wrestling today in the 90s. And let me tell you something. night after night, lovely ladies come up to us and they say, guys, how can y'all be so tough? How can you inflict so much pain? How can you beat up so many people and still be so pretty? That's because we're that darn good, baby. Nobody lays a hand on us unless we want them to, girls. So let me say one more thing, too. When we're going to and from the ring, ladies, please stand back. You can look, but don't touch, because we're the greatest thing going in professional sports today. The heavenly bodies are here to stay, and get ready and like it, because we're going to be around for an awfully long time.
The gangster of love and the doctor of desire, the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, coming soon near you.
Did you catch that all?
Yeah.
They're consistently working this angle about keep your hands to yourself, which I think is so fucking great. I just love it. I mean, they do it every week, it seems, but I love it. I love what they're doing. Was it a grand slam? No, it wasn't a grand slam like they hit sometimes. But hey, you're going to hit a few singles and doubles sometimes. You're not always going to hit the grand slam or the home run. So what did you think?
I thought it was meat and potatoes. I mean, there wasn't anything overtly pop-worthy or special about it, but few can do what they're doing out there. So, again, it's not slamming them. It's just they're delivering the mail.
Their ham and egg promo that you just heard makes a Tim Horner, you know, let me say this. Their average promo is probably still better than a Tim Horner great one at this point. Just my personal opinion. Nothing against you, Tim. I've actually come to enjoy what you're doing at this point in time. So let's get to the next match, which is Dixie Dynamite versus Paul Lee. Gee, take a guess who's getting their ass kicked in this one, doing a Ric Flair gimmick. Dixie comes out with the lights off, part of it with the lights off, and part of he's got these old school sparklers as he comes out with the lights off. So. I don't know. Dutch wants to know where the fire marshal is because he's fucking sparklers. Dutch starts analyzing some things about Dixie. One being why he wears a mask because he thinks it's because he's ugly or possibly because he's an escaped convict and there's a criminal element involved here. Bob says this isn't a pun. What I'm going to say about Dixie exploding all over Smoky Mountain. Because his name is Dynamite, explode, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Yeah, Dutch was saying something after that about Dixie being able to induce vomiting. Doc, did you understand any of that discussion with him inducing vomiting? I tried a couple of times, and I was like, you know what? Nah, I can't. This match isn't doing it for me.
He said it's a bulimic's dream.
Okay. Are you saying that?
You know what bulimia is?
Yes, but what I'm saying... Did it fit? I'm not asking if you understood it literally. Did it fit in the context of the match?
Oh, I don't know. It's just like, you know.
Okay.
If you swallowed poison and needed to induce vomiting, Dixie Dynamite would be your guy.
Well, then that makes sense then. What did you?
I thought this match was vomit inducing.
Yeah. What was your take on the beginning when he's talking about the sparklers and the fire marshal need to be there?
My exact notes were, Mike, you don't like me burying stuff, so I might just need to sit this one out.
Okay. Well, we get into the match, and Paul Lee does his Ric Flair face bump, as he always does. Then he does a flip over the second rope, turnbuckle to go to the outside of the ring apron. Then he takes the ring apron bump. Wait before that, he also takes the Flair back body drop. Oh, and then another Flair face bump after the turnbuckle shot. Lee does get the upper hand on Dixie, but he makes a mistake going to the top rope. Dixie shakes the top rope, which Lee takes a nut shot on the crotch as he lands on the top rope in the corner. Lee falls inside the ring. He then gets up. Dixie Dynamite hits him with the Confederate kick. 1-2-3 on the pin. Doc, your thoughts on the match?
Vomit inducing.
Okay. That bad, huh?
I didn't like it.
Okay, just double checking. We get a recap of Primetime Brian Lee and the Dirty White Boy from last week. Doc, can you let the fans know just real quickly while I get this next promo queued up, you know, what I mean by that recap?
So in the recap, the main event of episode 20, the last match, you had the main event of Primetime Brian Lee and Dirty White Boy. Hector Guerrero comes out after Ron Wright hands Dirty White Boy the gimmick, bust him open. Guerrero comes out to try to get things righted. He gets in the ring. Orndorff hits the ring with a Halliburton. Shit starts flying. Basically, Hector Guerrero gets hung over the rope, top rope, by his necktie. Dirty White Boy gets busted open. A couple of enhancement talent guys run in and get a buck snort blaster and a pile driver. Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff are laying waste to the scene as they go off the air. It was breaking down. It was chaotic, and the heels were in control.
All right. So with that said, we get a response then from Primetime Brian Lee based on last week's mayhem at the end of the episode. So this is a follow-up on what ended up being the close of episode 20 from last week that we reviewed. So here we go.
You know, Dirty White Boy, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, it never fails. If one of you are in the ring with me, the other one shows up. You know, I can't beat both of you, but I can beat one of you at a time. And I guarantee you when I get the chance and I put the cancellation on you, it's all going to be over and I'm going to cancel you like a bad TV show. So White Boy and Orndorff, you lace them up tight because I will have someone watching my back. You just worry about your own and I'm coming straight ahead wide open.
All right, Doc, I'll let you react, man. What do you think about Primetime Brian Lee's promo right there?
He's got somebody coming. I wonder who it is.
Well, not just that, but, I mean, did you like it, love it, hate it?
It was average Primetime Brian Lee.
I thought it was average, too, but, however, compare it to his previous ones as we are now, you know, 5 months into this thing. I mean, can't you see the growth there from him?
Yes.
100% growth on this. So, basically, we get that, and then we go into the next segment, which is a Down and Dirty with Dutch with Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. And this is long. However, it is very much worth listening to as it happened because and here's the thing. I want you to know as you're listening to it, it ends weird. You can't see it as you hear it, but Primetime Brian Lee is at ringside being held back by Dixie Dynamite and Danny Davis, and that's when Bob sends us off the air. So it breaks down, and it seems like there's no ending, but it's because the baby faces are literally trying to get in the ring and
storm in the ring.
They're storming the ring. They're not having this bullshit is basically what happened. So let me cue this thing up, and then Doc and I will react to the madness that is.
To Down and Dirty with Dirty Dutch. I'm Dirty Dutch Mantel, and you're not. My special guest here today is, in my opinion, the next heavyweight champion of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And let's give a big hand right now to Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, please. Everybody put their hands together. Now, I want you to take a close look at this. This is the official Smoky Mountain Wrestling program. This came from Volunteer Slam. It lists all the brackets. And right here where that question mark is right there, Mr. Wonderful, that's where your name should be. But it's not. Now, I understand you want to come out here. I would like to ask you about your relationship with the Commissioner Bob Armstrong and your feelings toward Primetime Brian Lee.
Well, you know something, Dutch? First of all, let's analyze this whole situation.
Okay.
And for those 8 to 5ers out there don't know what analyzing means, is that we're going to try to explain it to you in very simple terms. Because we do have a lot of simple people out there. That's what a redneck is.
Absolutely.
A redneck is a very simple person.
Right.
So here we go. Now, they will not allow me, and that's Bob Armstrong,
right,
to use the pile driver.
Right.
The pile driver is known world. No, I mean, I have beaten every man that's a wrestler that calls himself a wrestler. I have beaten them with it. You've seen it.
I've seen it.
You've seen Hulk Hogan, Tito Santana,
you whooped him like
Rick
a dog.
Flair. You just name them.
Right.
The list goes on and on and on. But you know something else? Now, here we go. Now we're going to start picking this thing apart. How come they can use a DDT? How come they can use a figure four? How come they can use an H-bomb?
Conspiracy, that's
exactly.
Why. Absolutely.
Exactly. You are a smart man.
Thank you.
And that's why you're doing what you're doing. And those people out there are making $1.75 an hour.
Now,
that's why.
Let me ask you this. Brian Lee, he didn't beat you, did he?
Who?
Brian.
Hey, how can you win a belt on a disqualification?
I don't know.
Tell me about it.
You're in the Smoky Mountains. You're in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and anything is possible here.
It's a Smoky Mountain ripoff.
That's
it exactly
is.
What it is.
Listen.
Bob Armstrong is behind it. Brian Lee ain't a man.
No.
He calls himself a man. I would not call myself a man winning the belt the way that he won it. I wouldn't have done that. I am a man.
Right.
Everybody out there, every man sitting in that seat would love to be Mr. Wonderful.
Well, he ain't nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at
piece
all.
Of garbage.
Wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute, Barry. Get over there. Get over there, Barry. Get in front of me, Barry. Don't let him in here. Okay, get him out of here.
Hey, we'll be back. Don't go away, fans. We'll have more right after this.
Okay, like I said at the end, basically, Primetime Brian Lee is trying to get into the ring, and I thought it was great because Dutch is like, wait a minute, Barry, get in between us. Dutch is playing chicken shit heel, which I thought was great. Doc, I'll let you react because there was a lot said there. I'm not going to sit there and say it was the greatest promo, but I enjoyed it.
Oh, I thought it was really good, and I think what prompted Primetime Brian Lee to come out just listening to it was when he said, what kind of man, and you're not a man. I thought... Orndorff was great with the how do you win a belt on a DQ. He used the line I love, it's a Smoky Mountain ripoff. He talks about all the people he's pile driven. I thought it was a really good promo.
Yeah, I like that line too when he said it was a Smoky Mountain ripoff, because I said that when we reviewed the Volunteer Slam, if you remember. I was like, okay, so we award the belt on a DQ, but there was a DQ earlier in the night as well. I mean, there was a DQ earlier in that match.
Well, he uses the Smoky Mountain ripoff line after the match in the back with Dutch.
Yeah, he did. He sure did. So I kind of liked it. I mean, there was a lot that went on there, so it was cool. I mean, there was. Let me say this. I love the line when he mentioned that's why you're doing what he tells Dutch. He's like, that's why you're doing what you're doing, and these people are making $1.75 an hour. I guess. What was minimum wage back then? I don't know. I mean, 92, I'd have to look, but
it was probably either high $3 something or low $4 something.
That's what I would figure. But yeah, so I don't know. I look, man, I enjoyed it. I thought I enjoyed the promo. I thought it was really good. Another thing about these promos too, I've been getting a lot of good feedback about doing the promos during the show. So that's why I've continued to do them and I've actually started to add more into it. But anyway, anything else before I move to the next segment?
No, I thought that was good. Breaking down rednecks. They're simple people.
Paul Orndorff killed me on that one, but yeah, so here we go. We got a promo. We move to the next segment. It is the Riches and the Battens promo here. I thought this was fine, but I would love to get I want to hear what you think about it, Doc, before I share my thoughts. So let's listen in to what they have to say.
Fans, we'll be right now two teams that are hot on the trail of the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies. Here are the Battens right here and the Party Patrol, the Riches. You guys, all of you, have agreed to sort of step aside because now the Fantastics are back. Jackie is ready to wrestle. So you guys saying, hey, we'll sort of put ours on the back burner for a while.
That's right. You know, all of us here have a beef with you, Jim Cornette, and your so-called Heavenly Bodies. Well, let me tell you something. The one there that looks like Bob's big boy, you know, you put something on your foot, you hit me in the back of the head, Jack. I ain't forgot that. If we get a chance to get at you, we will. If the Batten Twins get a chance to get at you, they will. And we want to wish all the luck to the Fulton boys when they get their hands on you.
What about that one?
You know, Bobby's absolutely right. Whether it's up in West Virginia, if we get a chance to get the belts from the Heavenly Bodies, we're going to do that. It might be the Riches. We're going to save a little bit for the Fultons because we know that they got more against the Heavenly Bodies than anybody. So good luck, gentlemen.
All right, fans. Let's go to ring.
All right, Doc. What did you think about the promo from the two babyface teams? Basically saying, you know, we're going to give the other babyface team their right to get back at the Heavenly Bodies.
My exact note on this was these are four guys that know where they sit on the totem pole, and I don't mean that. That's not a slam. It's they know where they are, and they're in the card, and the big guys are coming back. And of the four, I like Rich the best. I think we talked about that last week. I don't have anything. I'm not, you know, it's not the thing I've ever heard, but it's not bad. I did notice before this, the lead-in for this one was they were rolling out the, do you want Smoky Mountain in your town? Man, they did that like six times in this episode. Did you notice that?
They do it a lot in every episode, but hey, he's trying to pay the bills. I mean, can you blame him? He's pushing the product. He's trying to get it in more venues and more spots throughout the states.
Do you think if we could pool our money together and get him to come to the DFW area?
Shit, if they were still around, I'd probably seriously consider it.
I mean, what do you mean if they were still around?
Okay. You're just being a fucking dumbass now. Next match, you got anything else before we move to the next one?
No, sir.
Okay. I thought that promo was fine. In the territory days, the baby faces oftentimes would take a back seat to other baby faces, and I think that's what you saw here. Johnny Rich is a damn good promo, as I say that. I really, really like his mannerisms, his emphasis, everything he does when he's cutting a promo. So we go to the next match, which is the Heavenly Bodies versus Tim Horner and Robert Gibson. This is the main event, actually, of the day and or night on the show. Before we even start talking about this match, I don't know. I'm not going to play it again because I kind of played it last week. But no. Actually, I do have to play this because this is not the same thing. This is Cornette in the ring after his team was announced. So let me play this real quick.
Jim Cornette demands that I make the following announcement. When the Heavenly Bodies are making their way to the ring, under no circumstances should the females of the audience attempt to touch, grope, or attack them in any way. Any attempt to touch the Heavenly Bodies will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Men of the audience, please keep your women under control.
Okay, actually, I lied. I did play that segment last week, but I thought... I still love when the guy says, keep your women under control. Men, keep your women under control. Doc, do you keep your woman under control? I mean, do you have a grasp on what she does?
A grasp? That's unfortunate language.
I'm just asking. You know, I mean...
I don't know about as much as you do.
I got a good grasp, man. I got control, bro. I don't have those issues like you.
Uh-huh.
I tell her what to do, and she says, yes, sir.
Well, now you're just lying.
No, I'm not lying. That's your trait, not mine.
So,
Mr. Play Heel on a podcast at a terrible rate.
Never mind that.
No, go ahead.
No, you're busy trying to stir up shit that's not there with this play heel thing that you have, where we can't even talk about the wrestling business anymore.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No.
No, go. State your purpose. State what you're going to say.
I'm trying to talk about wrestling. Can we please do that, sir?
Yes, go ahead.
Why couldn't you use something like that in 2016 to get nuclear heat on the WWE?
Well, because
get your women under control.
I totally agree.
Why couldn't that have been like one of the vaudevillain things or something? Like
you would have. Well, from the corporate shareholder point of view, I'm guessing Vince wouldn't want to do that because he would be scared he'd offend someone. I don't know. It's just because of bullshit. They don't know how to book nothing no more. They don't know how to book personal issues. They don't know how to truly offend someone. They will insult people rather than try to offend. Like my whole thing is a heel. Like, you're a heel. Your job is to offend someone. What a concept. You know what I'm saying? Just go offend the person. That's your job, and that's what they're trying to do there. Well, why they don't do that now? Because they're fucking dumb, and they just want to book bullshit. Hokey horse shit. You know, let's say what Cornette always says. Did that answer your question, though?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, what did you want to add to it? I'm confused.
No.
Okay. So... back to the matchup. Cornette leads them to the ring in a lime green suit jacket, lavender pants, and red shoes. Did you see the graphic that mentioned the finals for the tag titles?
Yeah, I was confused about that.
Somebody had that graphic prepared for the Volunteer Slam, and they played it during this segment. So I would guess it was obviously it was a mistake. As the match gets started, Dutch is reading off some information about the guys in the ring pertaining to tag team championships. Obviously, Gibson and Lane have held numerous tag titles. I mean, we know them quite well for that and their track records throughout the South and NWA, Mid-South, all that good stuff between the two of them. Dr. Tom has held some reputable singles titles that they mentioned. And what do you know? Tim Horner has held the UWF tag title from when Watts ran it. Now, but I don't remember him winning it. What I mean is I've heard that before, but I do not recall Tim Horner being a UWF tag team champion. I think it was with Terry Taylor. Could be wrong. But, yeah, so whatever. That is what it is. The match is booked as I would expect. Gibson and Horner get plenty of good spots in the beginning, giving them the upper hand, making the baby faces look very strong. Did you notice around the 38-55 mark when Gibson, after being in for a while, tags in Horner? Then Horner turns around and tags him in less than 5 seconds later. Before Gibson can even get out of the ring, he's tagged back in by Horner. Did you notice that, Doc?
Yeah, I thought Horner must be getting paid by the second. What was he doing there?
Here's what I think. I'm pretty sure they said in the back when they were calling the match, at one point Gibson, you know, Horner like, hey, man, I'll tag you in. Make sure when I tag you in, give me a chance to do my spot where I jump in the ring and give that knee to the leg, which is what he did there. And I'm guessing that Horner was like, oh, we got to get this in. And, like, Gibson can't even get out the ring before Horner's, like, got his hand for the tag. And I can only think that Gibson must be going, dude, when I said that, I didn't mean do it 5 seconds after I get out. You know, go ahead and get your shit in for a second and then come to it and I'll get back
maybe,
in.
Maybe Gibson told him and Horner couldn't understand him.
That's not right. That's not right. No, I don't think that. I just think that, you know what that was?
More I was anything, just thinking that, man, Gibson was eating a bowl of mashed potatoes when he was telling him
No, that's not what it was. I guarantee you what it was that they hadn't worked together, obviously, as a tag team much, and that's what you see when people don't work together a lot.
Did you hear earlier in the match, before it was starting, Bob Caudle said, this one's going to be a Lulu?
I did hear that. I remember that from back in the day whenever something was going to be a Lulu. That didn't always mean that it was going to be a positive thing when something was going to be a Lulu. Know what I'm saying? I mean, is that how you took it?
I didn't. I just thought it was something that my great-great-great-grandmother might have said. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that was an old-time saying. So let's get back to things. The whole time that they're talking, Dr. Tom's been in the ring. Finally, Stan comes in and Lane makes his way. Horner holds his own and is getting his shine on. No pun intended when you hear shine as it relates to wrestling. He's just getting his comeuppance at that point. The heels finally get the upper hand when Stan Lane from the outside gets a handful of Tim's hair. And the heels now have control of the ring. We're now in the mode of tag teams and cheating, with Cornette distracting the ref at one point as Horner gets a sunset flip on Lane, but there was no count because the ref was distracted. Dr. Tom missed an elbow drop and makes the hot, in which Horner then makes a hot tag to Gibson. Gibson clears house, but hits his shoulder on the ring post, so the upper hand by the babies does not last long. Gibson eventually comes back and gets another tag to Horner. Things start to break down, and it gets into a four-way, just as tag team matches generally do here in Smoky Mountain and Southern Wrestling, where Horner is the legal man. Horner actually has Stan Lane pinned, but the ref is on the other side of the ring. Buddy Landell is at ringside. He's crouched down where the ref wouldn't be able to see him. Tim is kind of thrown into the ropes, where Buddy grabs Tim Horner's leg and goes to pull him in. He pulls Horner to the outside of the ring, then he sends Horner into the ring post, and then he rolls Horner back in so that Dr. Tom can hit him and drop him for the 1-2-3. The Heavenly Bodies retain the tag titles. Doc, what were your thoughts on this match?
I thought this was a fairly good match. I mean, it's not pay-per-view worthy, but not everything is. They're all vets in there, even Horner. And I like the way that the heels kind of help each other out. And the angles are intertwined. So Buddy's out there helping the Heavenly Bodies and trying to get one in on Tim Horner. So it's really, you know, we'll be enemy of my, you know, the we'll be enemies. We're all good guys. We're all bad guys. Kind of like it used to be. So I like that.
You know, it's funny you say that. I hadn't thought about it, but that's true. Nowadays, it's like predictable.
We don't have a storyline together. So why would we be interacting?
Right. But now, like back then, you're right, the heels could come out and they could cheat and help each other. And nowadays, if you do that, the internet wrestling community is like, well, he helped him, so he must be going to do that. No, just enjoy it. Just sit back and watch heels cheat and watch baby faces get fucked. And in the long run, the baby face does get his comeuppance. And that's why I think Southern wrestling worked better than Northern wrestling, because it was always about the heel fucking the baby face. And whenever the baby face finally did get his comeuppance and won, it just was that, you know, he wasn't going to hold the belt for long usually, but it did happen. So I don't know. I liked it. The match, like you said, the match was kind of like, meh, but the end was cool. And again, personal issues. There's that feud with those two that's going on. So yeah, I liked it. And obviously more to come, because Horner and Buddy are wrapped up in a feud at this point, and it'll continue to get better. So any other thoughts on the match before I play the promo from, I didn't want to play this, but there's a match after this. There's a promo after this match that it must be played, if for no other reason, to get a good laugh at. So anything else?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's hit it here, and we'll get going.
Fans, this reminder, Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be coming to your area very soon. Very soon, you'll be seeing all of the outstanding stars of Smoky Mountain Wrestling live, in person, right here in your area. And when they're there, you want to be sure that you don't miss them. You'll be seeing all the great stars, such stars as right here, Tim Horner, Primetime, Brian Lee, and Dixie Dynamite. Dixie?
Good to be here, Bob. I tell you what, Smoky Mountain Wrestling is what we're talking about here. You know, just the other day, you know, we were at a birthday party, and the little boys, I said, little firecracker, who is your favorite wrestler in Smoky Mountain Wrestling? He said, my favorite is Tim Horner. And the other little boy said, wait a minute, Double D, my favorite is Primetime Brian Lee. And other said, hey, Double D, I even like you. I said, well, I sure appreciate that. Well, tell me who your least favorite are. And they said, oh, without a doubt, Jim Cornette and that Stan Lane, he thinks he's so sweet. And that Dr. Tom Pritchard thinks he's so tough. And they so the way I look at it is from the mouths of babes come the truth. And they tell the truth. That's what it's all about. And you're going to see these three fine young men right here coming to your town. I want all my little firecrackers out there hollering, Confederate kick, Confederate kick. And I know they'll be doing the lightning bolt too, won't they, Tim?
That's right, Tim. You know, everybody's talking about Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Everybody wants in on the action. And when I come to your town, you know, I got a letter the other day, Bob. Somebody asked me how quick I was because I call myself White Lightning. I'm going to give you a little example. You want to see the fastest gun in the West?
Yes, sir.
You want to see it again? That's how fast I am. That's just an example of what you're going to see when we come to your town. And my main man, Primetime Brian Lee, 285 pounds of romping, stomping, walking, talking, jib-jabbing, socializing. He walks tall, does it all. You tell him, Brian.
Brian.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, you're speaking of Jim Cornette and Dirty White Boy and all these guys. Well, I'm tired. You know, is it me or is it them? They're talking about how ugly these women are in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You know, boys, the best thing you can do is go get some glasses because these women around here are the best looking around. I can't wait to see
them. Like it is.
Bruh. Go ahead, man. I'll let you start.
Well, okay.
Now, before you start, I know you're going to poke fun and I know you're going to bury some shit here, but you got to admit, this was so bad it was fucking great.
Yeah, if you want to go that route, I guess I'll give you that. Can you imagine being a little kid and having Dixie Dynamite show up at your birthday party? What the fuck? Okay, so
well, you're saying that, but you don't really. I mean, you gotta. There might be kids who actually would like that. So I mean, you're poking fun, but there are kids who don't know any better, and they'd be looking at that going, oh, this is actually kind of entertaining. So anyway, go ahead.
My first thought here, my first note was, Morton, where are you?
He's on the scene, bro. Don't worry. He's coming soon.
And bring Smothers with you. man, this is how I would go is Tim Horner saw how awful Dixie Dynamite was and said, you know what? I could do worse than that. There's some shit in there about being the fastest gun in the West and it cracks them all up. And when these two, my two cohabitants of the Smoky Mountain Doghouse, are done, Primetime Brian Lee just starts talking about spreading his seed all over the territory. And if you've heard certain stories, and I would assume many of you have since you're listening to this, James Mitchell being on Bolin and Kenny and Cornette, there's stories about them. He has some stories about Primetime Brian Lee and some ring rats. So, wow. That was
this is so good because you got Dixie Dynamite. He's like, man, I was at a little kid's birthday party. And I said, hey, little man, who's your favorite wrestler, Smoky Mountain Wrestling? He said, well, you're my favorite wrestler, Double D. I said, I sure do appreciate it, little man. Who's your least favorite? And he's like, oh, that Jim Cornette and them Heavenly Bodies. I sure do agree with you. And then he throws it over to Tim Horner. And Tim Horner, everybody's talking about Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He goes, Bob Carter, they all want to know why they call me White Lightning. He always want to know why they call me White Lightning. Well, let me show you why. You want to see the fastest gun in the West? You want to see it again? And then these three motherfuckers, all of them are cracking up laughing like it's the greatest fucking joke they've ever seen.
Like they did something.
Right?
It's like my 4-year old when he's like all looking at me proud like he did something, and I'm like, motherfucker, you didn't do anything.
Right. You're about to get stretched. What the fuck are you laughing at? Jesus Christ. And then, bruh, it's topped off. And I got to admit, Primetime Brian Lee actually isn't bad here. It's just what he says that's so funny. He starts, they're talking about these ugly-looking women in the Smoky Mountain. I don't see nothing wrong with them. I was like, oh, shit, I'm done at this point. This is so great. It's so bad. It was fucking fabulous. And it wasn't scripted. That's the best part about it. It's just that is an organic thing that those three guys just had in their mind. They were like, hey, I'm gonna mention this. Horner goes, I'm gonna mention this, and they go, and Primetime Brian Lee, you cap it off. And it's just like Bob Cottle is in the middle of this shit. And I don't know what Bob Cottle's thinking, but if I'm in the middle of that, I'm going, what the fuck did I just hear? Oh man!
I think it'd be funny if they stopped rolling and Bob Cottle just turned to him and went, "That was fucking pitiful," and then just threw down the mic and stormed off the set.
Oh man! But it was still good. Like, it's so bad, it's good. I'm sorry, I just had to say that. But anyway, That was this week's segment. It wasn't the last segment, actually. I was about to say it was the last segment. We actually had one more, so let me cue that one up. Doc, you got anything else before I cue up the Cornette and Heavenly Bodies promo, which closes out the episode?
No, let's hit it.
Okay, so I just got to tell y'all, listen to this real good, because this is fucking great, and I love it. Bullet Bob does run in. And I want to say this is a hell of a promo. And Cornette, especially at the end of this, really, really listen good, because it is golden.
Well, you know how you do. All right, fans, right here. And I tell you, the stars really shone on the Heavenly Bodies this week in the form of Nature Boy Buddy Landell. But you won't be so lucky with a Fantastic.
Oh, shut up, you bunch of genetic mutants. Look at my eye. He hit me right. My eye could be bleeding. Do you realize he could have blinded me? I'm going to have Robert Gibson arrested for assault, battery, and attempted murder. Tommy, I'm a bleeding.
Jimmy, just like you saw, those guys tried to cheat us out of a match tonight, but thank goodness for our outstanding sportsmanship, and the great...
Just a minute. Excuse me. I guess you know Buddy Landell may be proud of himself right now, but I want you to tell Mr. Buddy Landell if he interferes in another match, he's automatically suspended.
Who are you talking to, pal?
And as far as you guys go, Mr. Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, Jackie Fulton is back in action, brother, and I'm going to give them a lot of leeway. I mean, plenty of leeway in their upcoming matches with you, brother. They can go all the way. It's all right with me.
Hey, did you hear that? He's giving them a loaded gun. He's telling them they can do anything they want to us. That's the commissioner. That's the guy that makes the rules.
If
he ain't going to help us,
who's going to
do that?
Next week, the Fantastics return to Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
He cannot do that.
Bruh. You want to weigh in? Go ahead.
I just wonder if leeway is carny talk for family friendly.
Bruh, he lets loose. Like he said, that's not carny talk for family friendly.
I know, but the point is, it's just, I'm going to let you go all the way. Remember that. Armstrong's like, I'm going to let you go all the way with them about the Fantastics. So we'll
yeah, see. just keep that in mind. This was good. Bullet Bob was on it. Cornette was
just about to burst a vein.
Dude, Cornette looks like he's 25 years old in this segment, because he doesn't have his glasses on. So he's got this baby fucking face. I mean, we got to remember, he's only like 30 here. But Cornette is over the top hilarious, and it was great. He loses his shit when Bullet Bob says he'll give the Fantastics a lot of leeway in their upcoming matches. Bullet Bob's exact words were, they can go all the way. Cornette says, did you hear that? He's giving them a loaded gun. He's telling them they can do whatever they want to us. And I'm like, if you hear Cornette say it, but when you see his mannerisms, he loses it. Like, you would have thought he was just told that they're going to hang him next week on TV and he's going to die. That's how well he sold it.
Oh, yeah.
You got anything else? Because that actually, before we start giving out disability checks, you got anything else on this episode?
It is. The Fultons are back. They got to settle the score. So we'll see how that plays itself out.
Yeah, I agree. That was, dude, it was so good. It was
so And we've got
good.
Multiple angles rolling now, so that's fun, too. So if you don't like every angle that's being presented, you got a lot of angles.
I agree, man.
There's lots of angles going on for an hour-long show.
Yeah, and that's what makes it great. Cause everything,
ROH should try to take note of that.
Well, I'm not going to let's not turn this into ROH, because at least they produce a good wrestling product. I mean, unlike WWE, which is just completely bad all the way around. But anyway, so we got to give out disability checks, and we got to give out the government cheese award, thanks to listener of ours, Shard Johnson. Appreciate that, the government cheese award recommendation. But before we do that, I do have to say I want to thank all of you who have become patron members of Booking the Territory and the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. If you're interested in becoming a patron member, please do us a favor. Go to mikemills.podbean.com, and at the very top of the page, there's a green button, and it says Become a Patron. There are two options. One is a $1 a month membership, and the other is a $2 a month membership. It is a great way to support the show, which will allow you to come on a show and cut a promo on Doc Turner, or actually give your own top five from some of the previous top fives that we've done on Booking the Territory. You'll be able to present that, and we'll include it as a segment on the show. So please take a look at it. And if there's something that you'd like me to add to each selection of the $1 or $2 or something that would entice you to be a patron member, email me or DM me and I will consider, certainly. Here's the thing. You know, the shows are free. They're going to remain free, at least for the time being. I want to keep them free. And we'll do our best to do that. We pump out 8 shows a month between Booking the Territory and Smoky Mountain. I'm not into what some of these podcast networks do by charging people. Like, you know, there's some networks out there who, in order to get their archive, I guess, episodes, you have to pay. You know, if you go back, all of our over 100 episodes, Doc, do you know that? We're over 100 now. All of our 100 episodes between BTT and Smoky Mountain are available right now. You can download as far back as a year and a half ago. So they're all free. They'll remain free. But if there's something that you want added to the $1 or $2 a month option, please let me know and I'll consider. Send me an email, bookingtheterritory@gmail.com, or a DM on Twitter. That's @BTT_podcast, and we'll look at getting it added. But Doc, you're going to have some people coming up. Some of our patron members are going to cut some promos on you, man.
Just remember before you cut your promo, you cut your little promo, which is a terrible idea, by the way, giving these marks a voice. But
he's playing heel, everybody.
But once you cut your promo, I'm going to take notes on it, and I'm going to respond. So just remember that.
He's going to respond. And you see him every single week. Does he sound like he can cut a good promo? You fucking idiot. You're a fucking moron. I'm going to love this, listening to some of these people get 2 minutes of their time to cut a promo on your sorry ass. It's going to be great. Okay. So, please consider it. Again, Booking the Territory and Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast is free. So support the show. Become a patron member. Think about it. $1 a month. That's $12 a year. I mean, if you order a pizza today, it's going to cost you at least $12, if not more. Just a pizza. So if you think about that, $1, $1.25 in a month, man, you will be supporting this show greatly. The other ways to support the show, at mikemills.podbean.com, is the Amazon referral link, and then also the PayPal donation link at the very top of those page. And then I forgot to mention this last week, but our pro wrestling tee store is also at mikemills.podbean.com. The other way to get to our pro wrestling tee store and to buy a pro wrestling t-shirt of ours is to go to facebook.com/bookingthe territory. If you click the shop now button, our Booking the Territory t-shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees are all there as well. First-time listeners, subscribe, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, however you get your podcast. We'd appreciate if you subscribe and you enjoy the show. And do us a favor. Go on iTunes and write us a 5-star review. Put some comments telling everyone out there how much you love the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast or Booking the Territory or both. If you listen to both of them each and every week, we'd appreciate it. Those 5-star reviews help out. And then also, in turn, when you're on iTunes writing a 5-star review, click the yes button by those other 5-star reviews saying that those were helpful. We'd appreciate it. Lastly, follow us on Twitter @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike 504 Saints. You can follow us all there. We'd appreciate the follows. And Doc, let's get to the disability checks and government cheese award. So I'll let you go first. Who's your disability check? How many disability checks are you giving out?
I thought this was a solid but not spectacular episode. I was entertained, but it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen. So I'm going to give it a 6.0.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me. Here's the thing about these episodes sometimes. There, in 1 hour of television, all it takes is like one good segment to really pop a show. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because you only have truly 45 minutes of runtime if you take commercials out, each and every episode, just about. So the reason I say that is I thought this episode, just in general, it probably wasn't the best. The main event wasn't that great to me. You had the Down and Dirty segment, which was good. You had a Buddy Landell promo, which was good. But overall, this episode was not the greatest that you'll ever see from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So I went ahead and did a 6.5 on this one. I think that, to be honest, it probably would have been a little more if they'd had maybe one more good promo. I actually would have gave it a lower rating if not for that Cornette promo with Bullet Bob at the end. And the train wreck that was the promo of Tim Horner, Primetime Brian Lee, and Dixie Dynamite. So I gave it a 6.5. It almost got a 7 out of me, but it gets a 6.5. So, and it's because those last two promos to me allowed me to give it a 6.5. It may have been worse if not for that. So anyway, Government Cheese Award. Doc, you went first with your disability check. So I'm going to give my Government Cheese Award to, as good as the Cornette and Heavenly Bodies promo was at the end with Bullet Bob, I got to give it to Tim Horner, Primetime Brian Lee, and Dixie Dynamite, because that segment was so much of a train wreck, it definitely gets the Government Cheese Award for something that just completely cracked me up to no end. So that's my Government Cheese Award. What about you?
I'm going to give my Government Cheese to Robert Gibson.
For what?
For having to lug Tim Horner through a tag team match. And I found it interesting because to me it felt like he played the Ricky Morton role, and he's usually out on the apron watching the Ricky Morton role, and I thought he played that role this time. So he did something that was a little bit slightly out of character for him, and I thought he did it well.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't give a fuck what you think.
Okay. Overall, a very entertaining episode, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I like Smoky Mountain. I like Smoky Mountain. I'm the one that had to twist your arm into doing this.
Yeah, no, I do. I do all the work for it. I take the notes.
That's what makes me that's what people don't understand right here. It's what makes me the boss. I have the bright ideas, and I have my staff to go out and make sure they get executed.
Actually, what it is you don't know how to do it, therefore I do it.
Somebody has to have the vision.
Somebody else
has to be the one that carries it out.
No, the vision was, hey, this Smoky Mountain stuff is great, and I was like, this needs to be our second show. That was the vision. Let's not fool everyone here. Let's not try to pull wool over people's eyes, because you couldn't have pulled this off without me. So let's just be honest. Let's be straight. Let's not act stupid when we're making these terrible statements that you're making. So anyway, that's pretty much going to wrap up this week. Doc, you got anything else before I mention one or two other things?
My idea.
Your idea. Okay. Again, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Subscribe. Throw us a 5-star review on iTunes. I think you can do so on Stitcher as well. We greatly appreciate it. Follow us on social media at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/bookingatherritory. Give it a like. I want to ask one thing before we get out of here and throw it over if there are any promos, because I think I played them all, but whatever. Facebook page, do us a favor. We're starting to get more comments when we drop the episode. So keep those comments coming when I post the episodes. We'd appreciate those Facebook posts and you saying what you liked and didn't like about the episode. And if we suck, that's great. And if we don't suck, that's great. If you hate Doc, tell us that you hate Doc. If you think Doc's a terrible heel, please dig in with that, and we appreciate it. So, Doc, that's all I got. Become a patron member, everyone. Go to mikemills.podbean.com and help support the show for a buck a month. That's 12 bucks a year. You can probably find the buck in your couch cushions, to be honest with you. But we appreciate all that you do to support the show and support us every single week. I think I played all the promos, but if I didn't, there may be one or two at the end. If not, you know how we do it when we get out of here. For Mike and Doc and Hardbody Harper, who's not with us because he doesn't do the Smoky Mountain shows yet, you know what we always say when we get out of here? Book it, bitch.